Good morning. What a joy for us to be here with you. Greetings from Bristol. The second best city after London. It is such a joy for us to be here building relationships with these guys, and so grateful to see what God is doing in this place. So if you would like to either turn on or open your Bibles, we are going to be looking at 2 Kings 4 this morning. You might want to be following along. I'm sure Mark's going to refer back to bits from this passage. So 2 Kings 4. And if you don't know where 2 Kings is, it's just after 1 Kings. So 2 Kings 4 from the beginning. The widow's oil. The wife of a man from the company of prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my 2 boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." And then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live free on what is left."
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. And as has been introduced already, my name is Mark, and this is Kathy. And now, I am registered blind, okay? That's what the white stick is. The white stick is so I don't go too far forward and hug the front row. And okay, I need to give you a little bit of instruction, okay? So when you have a blind person speak to you, if you smile and nod, does nothing for me, okay? So I need you to be vocal. I need you to laugh, to cry, to cheer, to shout amen, to do hallelujahs. In appropriate places, and that was to you, Duncan. Okay, thanks. Okay, it just helps. And if you want an extra incentive, I get more interesting if you do me more feedback. Okay, so if I'm boring, it's your fault. Okay, just a little bit us. I'm married to Kathy. We have 2 daughters. There's one is here. The other one's down in Vauxhall in London as well. And I am presently the minister of a Baptist church, don't hold that against me, in Bristol. We've been there for 2 years. Before then, we led a church down near Southampton for about 20 years. And we just serve God and love the local church. And it's my privilege also to be able to teach. I love teaching God's word. And we just want to unpack that passage. If you have the Bible open, keep it open or turned on, because we will dive into that in a moment. But before then, I wonder, have you ever felt trapped? Okay, I've got a really moving story. Prepare yourself. It was a few years ago. We were in Cardiff, and we weren't trapped in Wales, but we were in Wales, and I was with my girls, so Kathy and the 2 daughters, and they wanted to go shopping. Again, that's not the trap. But they, my choice is shopping. Is I don't like to go shopping. I think that's just not from God. But they disagree. That's okay. So what they did is they sat me on a bench outside while they went to raid the shop. Who would be with the raiders?
Yes.
Who would be with the sensible people like me?
Yes.
Ah, look at that. That was deep as well. That was heartfelt. That's me. Okay, so I sat on the bench and I had an audio book plugged in, and I'm just waiting, and I've got a little bit of vision and saw people go back and forth. And as I'm listening to my book, I was aware above my audiobook there was a very loud voice, and there was a woman walking along, and she was chatting on the phone, very animated and loud. And as she walked by, she stopped and then began to reverse in, clearly to the bench next to me. Now bench etiquette is you sit on opposite or a different bench, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what it is. Thank you, front row. And I was sat there, and I was in the bench, and there was a little gap there and a little gap there. And I saw her need, and I saw that gap, and I went, you are severely underestimating things here. And she reversed in, no beeping, nothing like that. She came in, no interruption to her phone call, kept going, and just sat almost on my lap. I mean, she just, and I just thought, well, maybe it's Welsh people. I don't know. I moved over. And I thought, that was really strange. And as I'm just pondering, because we don't say it out loud, we just ponder, that's very strange. And another woman came along the other side, and I saw her reversing into an even smaller gap. And I thought, again, you suffer from this under overestimation thing going on. And she sat on, I had like overlap on both my legs. I was trapped between two unstoppable forces, and I'm going, I'm stuck. Because I couldn't get my phone to text my girls to say help. I'm going, I'm going, what do you do in those things? You know, could you go, nah, I couldn't do that. I'm just going, I'm sat there going, oh, what do I do? I didn't pray. I know I'm a minister, it was my day off. I didn't pray. And eventually the first one stood up and I flooded into the area because of the pressure. And I thought, do you know, that was just a very weird, uncomfortable 5 minutes. It probably was longer, but it felt like a long time. And I know that was a bit of a trivial trap. It was a trap, I tell you. But it was just a trivial trap. In our reading from 2 Kings, is we come across a woman who was really trapped, who felt that pressure all around her, not just a temporary. We introduced her. She is the was married to a chap who was part of the Company of Prophets. Now, the Company of Prophets were a gaggle of people who followed God. So they were good, godly people. And we're told that he dies, and we don't know why. And he has a lot of debt, and we don't know why. But this widow is left with a massive amount of debt. And she is in trouble. She didn't know what to do. And what's worse than that is the only way to repay that debt was her sons were going to be put into slavery, which was a law thing of way back then. Now, when your sons go into slavery, it's not just you're not going to see your boys anymore. It's as a widow, there's no social security. There was no backup for her. So her future was really, really bleak in losing her sons and having no way of keeping her fed and housed and clothed and things. She was in a dire situation. And we know how dire because when Elisha said, well, what have you got? She said, absolutely nothing, just a little bit of oil. Now, we all know the end of the story, and we go, oh, yeah, but the oil's good. No. Put your head in the mind of this widow. She was trapped, and she had nothing. She'd done the spreadsheet. She had the Excel or whatever they had in those days. She looked through and went, there is no money. I am in trouble. Massive pressure, no money, and I have no way out. And I would bet that because her husband was Company of the Prophets, she believed in God, she would have prayed, God, get me out of here. And yet she is still trapped. Now, we are at a different era and different situations, but I wonder how many here can relate to that trapped feeling. That trap feeling of going, look, I've done the spreadsheets and I've seen the bills or I see what's coming and I'm going, I've got no way out. I don't know what I'm going to do. And some of you here right now, financially, the truth is you have a cliff in front of you. Or you may have a cliff that you're falling from right now because the finance is so tight and you're going, I have nothing. You've prayed and prayed and prayed and you're still falling. Some of you, it's not finances. Actually, there's something else. Maybe you're carrying a medical or health situation and the doctor has said something over you and saying, your future is going to be like this and there's nothing we can do. Or you're sat on a waiting list and it goes from 1 year to 2 years to who knows. And meanwhile, your condition's getting worse and you are feeling trapped. Some, it's in a relationship. And you're going, I'm trying, and I don't know how to get out of this. And it may not be as big. It may be something smaller, maybe the work situation, maybe something with school, maybe something in your neighborhood. But I wonder how many of us here can relate to this widow's experience, or at least feeling of being trapped. And any amens in the house?
Amen.
Okay, because if you're going, no amen, then we'll just close in prayer and that's the end of it. Don't you wish I told you that before I asked? Yeah, I get that. I get that. No, I get that. Okay, now enter Elisha. I'm not sure if you know much about Elisha. He was an Old Testament heavyweight. He was a real super connected God guy. His mentor was Elijah. And Elijah called fire from heaven and just did amazing things. And now the anointing goes to Elisha. And Elisha carries that anointing, carries the power of God and the voice of God. Just the chapter before, if you get bored, flip the chapter before, there was a whole army that was about to die of thirst. And under Elisha's guidance and prayer, God's provided water and saved an entire army. So this guy is super heavyweight. And he comes into our story to help this woman who was trapped. Now, many of us will jump to the end. We go, well, I know how it sorts out. I know the ending. God provides lots of oil. Everything's happy. And how many pray that sort of prayer? Yeah, you do, don't we? We do. God, I'm feeling trapped. God, get me out of here. I'm a Christian. You do. Series starting again soon, isn't it? Oh, no, that's I'm a celebrity. Get me out of here. But how many of us pray that? I'm a celebrity. I'm a Christian. Jesus, I love you. I've just sung those songs. Get me out of here. Many of us do that, and many of us, if we're honest, we're carrying the disappointment because have you noticed lots of times God doesn't? Yeah. And then how do you do that? Do I got to pray more, pray harder, pray this or pray that? And in our reading, actually, we get a really interesting insight in how might we encounter that releasing blessing of God. Now, we feel that it's one, a couple of verses is done, but actually Elisha points out a couple of things or three things that this widow needed to do to position truths that she needed to grab hold of that led her to a place of encountering more of God's blessing and more of his release. Are you interested in me pointing out those three things?
Yes.
Okay. So that's good. You learn this. Yes is good. Quiet is not so good. The first thing he said is this. Okay. The first thing he says is, ask for help from other believers. That's what he said. I can't remember where on the screen, but roughly that's what he said. Is ask for help for other believers. Is ask for help. He said, now I want you to go and ask your neighbors for jars. Check out the verse. He says that. Now, we all have a little bit of a problem here when it comes to asking for help. And allow me to prove it, shall we? Okay, here we go. This morning, your car doesn't start, a flat tire, something like that, and we are in a dilemma. How many of us go, oh, my car's broken, I need to phone someone up and see if they will help me? How many find that a little bit awkward?
Yeah.
How about if someone, you're about to go to church and the phone rings and it's someone who says, oh, I'm really, my car's just had a flat, could you nip, I know you're near me, can you help me and give me a lift to church? How many of you would say, yeah, I'll help?
Yeah.
So isn't that interesting? So when someone asks you for help, you're going, yeah, I'll help. I'll do what I can. I mean, if I can't, I can't. But if I can, many of us will say, I will try. And yet, when many of us are faced with the problem, we don't like to ask. Tell the person next to you, why is that? Why is that the case? No, seriously, tell the person, why don't you like to ask for help? Okay, why do you find it difficult to ask? It may be we'll just do the car breakdown. It may be other things, but why do you find it difficult to ask for help?
Fear of rejection.
Don't want to be a part.
Okay, fear of rejection. Anyone saying, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a pain, a nuisance. Anyone agree with that?
Yeah.
Anything else?
Pride.
Yeah, I think pride is there. Pride's a weird thing because who feels they're proud? No one does, but it probably does have roots. I think it's fear of rejection. I think it's fear of looking silly. How many go, I should be able to sort it out myself?
Yeah.
Yeah. And any other things?
Admitting vulnerability.
That's cracking, absolutely. Those these are all reasons, aren't they?
Yeah.
Are any of these valid reasons? Okay, let me just add to the problem here. Because in the Bible, okay, because we believe in the Bible, yeah? I should have checked just Duncan.
Mostly,
okay, mostly, that's great. Let's narrow that down. Okay. In the Bible, there's a picture that the Bible uses in the New Testament several times of what God saves us into, and that's called the family of God. He calls us a family, but actually another picture uses the body of Christ. We find this in 1 Corinthians 12, which is actually the passage that was read about love just a few moments earlier. Right before that, he talks about the body, different gifts, and they put together to a body. In Romans 12, he talks about a body, different parts. In Ephesians 4, he talks about a body. So there's a body, and everyone has different gifts, and we all fit in different ways. So that means that God purposely designed us that you cannot do everything by yourself. Good. Yeah? Yeah. That's okay. So it's very clear in the Bible. Do you agree?
Yeah.
If it's a body and one's, you know, it says one's a hand, one's an ear, one's this, one's that. He doesn't say, you've got it all. He says, you've got part of it. And yet we can find ourselves living as though I'm supposed to live as though I've got it all. And actually, we need to understand that God has put us in a body, and we're supposed to ask one another. I wonder if this widow was so focused on my situation is so dire and I don't know what to do, and it's filled her eyes, the waves have filled her eyes, and she's going, I don't know what to do. And what Elijah says is, first of all, you need to lift your eyes and you need to ask God's family for help. When we ask for help, two things happen, okay? Why do we need to ask for help? Two things. The first thing is this, is what it does is it widens our perspective. Let me give you, I had a youth leader, so this is an old story because I'm old. Well, I had a youth leader and he fixed washing machines. And he told me a story once that he had his head inside the drum fixing some wiry thing and he foolishly forgot to unplug the machine. And he said, I was in it. And he said, my nose touched a live wire. And I immediately pulled my head back, as anyone would. But it then bashed the bang of the drum. And then the back of his head hurt. So he went forward, which put his nose back on the wire again. And he goes, I just rattled around. And being loving and caring, what do? We laugh, absolutely. But he was rattling around, and what he needed was someone to pull his head, or either turn it off and pull his head out of the drum. So many of us, I reckon this widow is, I have debts, but I don't have any money. I have debts, but I don't have any money. I have debts, but I don't have any money. Can anyone relate to that wash machine drum rattle? And we can do that. It can be with health. It can be with relationships. It can be with work. It can be with church. It can be with all sorts of things. Is we are just rattling around and our nose is hitting one thing, our heads, and we go bang, 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 bang. And why we need to ask the family for help is it widens our perspective. Sometimes we just can't pull our own head out of the drum. We need someone to help us. Second thing is what it does is it helps us understand we're not alone. This is really important. It doesn't just pull our head out of the money debt, the illness, I don't know what they're going to do. Not just that head rattling thing. It also helps you understand you're not alone. As I said, I'm registered blind and have been so for many a year. I'm just about 4 weeks ago, I was recording some podcasts for Torch Trust for the Blind, a great charity that helps blind people, Christians. And I was interviewing a whole load of people about blindness and just talking about blindness and saying, well, what are some of the challenges? What surprises you? What's funny? What's scary? What's sad? And as we talked, what was really interesting is you suddenly realized is you are not I am not the only person. They are not the only person wrestling with that issue. It didn't fix it. I didn't go, okay, podcast done. Wow, I can see. It wasn't like that. It was understand. We talked about what is faith. It was blind faith. The series is called. I'm talking about how does blindness and faith, how do they work together? And we're just exploring that and just saying, well, where does God fit into that? And when it doesn't work, and when it does work, and all those things. But what it does is, as we talk, as we ask one another, the family of God, is it helps not just widen our perspective, but helps us understand that we are not alone in this. Click back 10 minutes, 5 minutes to that area that you say that you have been trapped in, that you understand you're trapped in, whether it was as extreme as the widow or not as extreme, but that trappedness is the first thing we need to do is we need to ask the body of Christ for help. We need to get over our pride or get over our fear or get over our just feeling like we're, you know, that I can't cope. Do you know what? We need to get over that and ask. And it does two things. It widens our perspectives. It helps us realize that we're not alone. When it's financial, whether it's medical, whether it's relational, in all those places, when you actually say, I need a bit of help here, it is part of what God does to help release us. That's in the reading we just read. He said, go and ask your neighbors. Okay, that was point one. Go and tell. Go and get some Christians. Get them to know. They may not sort it all out, but what it does changes our perspective. The second thing he does this, we need to know. First, we need to go and ask others for help. The second thing is we need to do what God says. Okay, I know that doesn't sound very deep and spiritual, but man, this is deep and spiritual. It really is. Imagine you were the widow. Okay, and I'm Elisha, and I'm saying, go and ask your neighbors and ask for jars, verse 3, and not just a few. Yeah. And you're the waiter, and you go, I like plates better. I'm more of a plate person, you know, or maybe a bowl. Yeah, bowl, yeah, I'll do that. I'll tell you what, I'll ask Brenda next door for a bowl. That sort of answers it. And if she did that, tell me, would the story have ended differently? A few years ago, I was part of a church that was doing a massive building project, and we needed a massive amount of money. And part of raising money is I did a sponsored parachute jump. I'm not dumb. It was tandem. I was strapped to someone. And I got a picture of it, hopefully. I was strapped I was strapped to Dino. And the training was extensive. If everyone, the training is this. Dino goes, Mark, just do what I say and don't touch anything. Let's go. Seriously, that's all he said. That was all he said. And I'm thinking, Dino, how many times have you done this? He said, I've jumped thousands of times. And I'm thinking, he looks alive. So he probably knows what he's doing. And so what did I do? I did exactly what he said, and I didn't fiddle with anything. And just so you know, I survived, okay? Just in case you're wondering, I survived, okay? Now what does this have to do with anything? Imagine if we're falling, doing that, and I'm going, I wonder what that strap does. That buckle. Oh, well. But how many of us, we do the exact same. We know that the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. We just heard that a few moments ago. About loving one another. About forgiving one another. About don't put money above God. About serving. About being generous. We know the Bible's pretty clear about all of that, don't we? And yet, how many times do we fiddle with straps? We go, well, I'll forgive them, but not them. Well, I'll give a little bit. Well, I'll seek the kingdom of God this bit and not that bit. And what we do is we can find ourselves fiddling with straps. And the worst thing is we fiddle with straps, because we all do it, and we fiddle with straps, and then we get loose, and we're going, oh, God, what's happening here? Or we wait, saying, how late can I pull the ripcord? How close can I get to the edge? When's the last minute I can call God in? We all do it. Let's be honest, we all do it. And then here's the weird thing, is when we are in this panic state of it's all loose and flappy and I'm falling, and God, why did you let me down? Have you ever called that out? And God's going, it wasn't me, I told you, just do what I say and don't fiddle with the straps. In James 1, verse 22, he says, don't just be listeners of the word and deceive yourself. Guys, do what it says. Jesus tells the story of the wise and the foolish builder, the one who built his house on the sand, the rainstorm comes and the house flat goes down. Please don't sing the song. And there's the one who built it on rock and his house stood firm. And Jesus says, the one who builds it on what I say is the one who stands firm. The one who does what I says and doesn't fiddle with the straps is the guy who doesn't go splat.
That's the quote,
thank you. But do what we said. And this is what Elisha said to this widow. He says, first, you need to ask. Ask for help. You're in a community of people who love God. Ask for help. That's how God designed it. Secondly, we need to do what God says. It's not that it earns it. It's not that we're earning God's favor. We're not earning God's blessing. It's just that I'm not filling with straps. There's another really interesting, just a little side point on this one. Did you notice, and maybe not notice, let me highlight it, that the size of God's blessing was directly proportionate to the size of her faith? Yeah. Okay, let me just pull that out a little bit more. If she collected 5 jars, how many jars of oil would she have got?
5.
If she collected 50 jars, how many jars of oil would she have got?
50.
He's behind you. I know, I get it. It's okay. Now, this is not earning God's favor, but it's actually, there's a direct connection between our faith and seeing the release of God's blessing around us. I wonder, if you were that widow, how many jars would you have collected? When you were going, well, I've done enough now. My hands are full. The boy, yeah, you got one each, it's fine. Do we go out again? And now, okay, how does that relate to our everyday lives? If jars are about creating space for God to fill with oil, is that fair? Okay, so how much space do you give God in worship? How much space do you give God in engaging with his word? How much space do you give God when it comes to serving? Jesus says in John 13, serving releases blessing. How much space do we give for God? This isn't about earning, it's about making ourselves available.
Yeah.
And that's what Elisha said to this widow, is ask the community, but do what God says. Ask, and not just for a few, because if you just got a few, I mean, God's going to do something, but that's the size of blessing. How big a blessing do you guys want? Yeah, okay, you guys want a lot. Brilliant. Well, those two there, come on. Oh, but the rest of you? Okay. But it is, and the thing is, I know we know it, but let's get practical. Let's give space to encounter God in worship. Let's give space. If God's word is a living word, then let's make sure that living word actually gets in us. If we believe that serving releases blessing, if we believe that it's better to give than to receive, if we believe that we are to forgive as God forgives us, then guys, let's not fiddle with the straps. Let's do what the boss says. Lastly, is we need to remember that God is the one who saves. Now, those who are eagle-eyed will look in the passage and go, I don't think it says that, Mark. Okay? Because you should, because it doesn't say that, does it? Does it? I'm not sure what version you're using. But it doesn't actually say those words. You know, remember, God is the one who saves. It does say, ask the community. That's in there. It does say, do what God says, as in don't, you know, collect not just a few, collect a lot of jars, girl. Collect a lot. But it also is this thing, is remember that God is the one who saves. Because what he says is this. Once you've asked your neighbors, once you've collected your jars, close the door behind you, just you and your boys, and start a pouring. What's the significance of close the door behind you? Matthew 6, verse 6, Jesus is teaching on the Sermon on the Mount on prayer. He says that when you pray, go to your closet and close the door, and your Father will see what you do in secret and release his blessing. I think that doesn't mean your prayers, other prayers don't work, but I think what Jesus himself said, you know, when you pray, guys, you and God, remember it's God who saves. It's so easy to fall into the thinking that, well, if I ask lots of people, if I ask Duncan, he may know someone who might be able to help with this and that, or if I ask that person to pray, I get their prayer. And we can ask people, which is good to do, right to do, but then we can transfer our hope from God into they will solve my problems. Even with following and doing what God says, is we can find, well, God, I've served you here and there, and I've come to church on Sunday, and I prayed, and I didn't criticize Duncan's sermon, and I didn't do this, and I didn't, and God, surely I've earned some God points that I can get some blessing now. And what we're doing is we're putting our hope in our good works. Good works are important. But actually, they don't earn. They should be an overflow because we've encountered God, not what we do to try to encounter God. It's about putting our hope in God, for God is the one who saved. Jesus says it's come to the Father, because in the Father, that's where we get salvation. That's where we get redemption. That's where we get forgiveness, adoption. That's predestined, about elected from the beginning of times. This is all from God. God is the one who gives us his spirit as a deposit and a guarantee. God is the one who transforms. God is the one who changes. So put your trust in him. Look to him. take your eyes off other people doing it and take your eyes off yourself doing it. And there's a little nuance on this one, because sometimes we're saying I'm putting my faith in God, but actually we're putting our faith in our plan, because we're saying, God, will you do my plan for me? How many times have you got mad because God hasn't answered your prayer? Because prayer is saying, God, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. And God does bring release. He does bring blessing. It may not be as you would like it to be. You got a blind guy standing in front of you. Do you think I've ever prayed for my sight to come back? Do you think, of course, but I'm still blind. But I got to trust God in that. Does God still bless? Yeah, he does. And I've got to trust God and say, okay, God, where I am, I'm trusting. But I can't see this as being trapped. I've got to say, God, you're where, and I want to make sure I ask for help, and I do. I want to say, God, I want to be walking in your way, which I'm seeking to do. And I'm saying, but God, is you're the one who saves. And your salvation isn't my narrow definition of salvation. Your salvation is this technicolor for your kingdom come. In your situation, I don't know what it is. Some of you are here and you've got a smiley face, but your heart is just so heavy. Because you're going, I feel trapped. I feel burdened. It may be trapped because of something that happened decades ago. You may feel trapped because of something someone said decades, years ago. Or it may be a living life right now. It may be an email you received this morning and it is so fresh and it is so painful. And I want to tell you that God is still in the business of releasing people. He is still in the business of changing our hearts and lives and situations. And is it a single prayer will do it? The Bible has some of those going on. But I think we see in this story, it's about positioning ourselves to say, God's put me in a body, so body, can you help? It's saying that God has given us some, walk the Jesus way. And it's saying, I'm gonna not fiddle with straps, Jesus. I want to seek to walk and build on you. And it's also saying, God, you are the one who saves. So I need to lift my eyes above the waves where oceans are deep, some problems are big. And say, but God, you're bigger. Yes. And you can see. Yes. And you I trust. Let's just pray for a moment. God, I want to thank you that your word is so cool. It's so real. And it's so frustrating because it doesn't always match up to our experience. And yet, it does because it's real. Father, I want to just pray for my friends who are here right now, who are wrestling right now, some who are feeling just trapped. And you are a God who says, I am a God who releases people. Father, just by your Spirit, just nudge us. Where are those places that we need to lean into to put us in a better position to encounter more of your blessing? I want to, some of us are just going, that's a general good word. Some of us are going, blimey, that was speaking just dead to me. Yes. And there will be some people just crying to speak. There's going to be some people saying that was to me. And I want you to do something very courageous. And I'm going to want you to lift your hand to say, do you know what? I'm feeling a bit trapped and I could do with a bit of help. And I want the rest of the church family to open, don't do the bow closed, no one's looking. I want you to look. Not to go, ooh, they're not very good. Ooh, they're in trouble. Just to say, I see you, brother. I see you, sister. And as part of the body, I see you. Can I encourage you, if you're going, I could do with some release. Yeah, I'm not going to get you to stand up and call it out. I'm just saying, well, you just say, I could do with some release. It could be big, it could be small. It's between you and God, that's fine. But I'd like you to put your hand up. Now, I can't see if there's any hands up, but I'm going to assume there's a couple hands up. Are there a couple hands up? Yes. That's great. Okay. So keep your hand up. Everyone else who has their hand down, I want you to put your hand towards them. Okay, don't touch them, but just put your hand towards someone near you, okay? And that does two things. One is because you're putting your hand up as well and going, yeah, I need some help as well. I don't maybe feel it as pressured, but it's there. And you're also saying, I see you and God, we are connected, for we are the body of Christ. Are we doing that?
Yeah.
Okay, Father, we together, we are the body of Christ that you have called, that you have gifted, that you have saved us into. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who have their hands straight up. Father, you see that hand. You don't look down and you don't think bad thoughts of them. You're smiling and going, oh, good. Oh, good. Father, I pray for the rest of this church and the churches here as they look. Father, I pray that we may go, I identify with you. I stand with you and I support you. And Jesus, will you pour your release? Will you pour your blessing? Will the oil of the Holy Spirit flood into that person as they've just opened up and bring healing and bring release? Jesus, you can do it however you want. You're God, I'm not. And you're brilliant at it. So God, Holy Spirit, be released. Touch lives. And all God's people said, amen. If some of you are going, do you know, if you put your hand up earlier, can I encourage you to speak to someone? It may be the prayer team, it may be a buddy you came with, but just to say to some, not everybody, just to say, in fact, don't tell everybody. Just tell a couple, just saying, yeah, I'm really struggling in this area. This is why I put my hand up. Okay, because it's not just that silent, I need help. It's saying, I'm needing help with this or that. And let's be body together. So actually just go and speak over donuts or whatever you do. Just have a chat. Grab a coffee. Some of you are going, I actually would really appreciate some prayer. And at the end of the service, we've got a prayer team. Kathy and I are here as well. We would love just to pray for you. I'm not going to say, boom, it's all going to be fixed. But what I can do is, Almighty God, come and touch this life. If we believe that God changes lives, well, let's walk in that.
Yeah. Amen.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, we love you.